What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 89 of the Sports Card Second Podcast. Today is my first live interview with someone outside of my family, which is actually going to be pretty fun. Today I've got my best friend Luke over here, and we are going to be talking some fantasy football. We got a big draft party coming up tonight. He's got this big old documented notes, and we are going to be debating some rankings, some sleepers, and we're also going to talk about collecting because he does collect cards pretty actively right now. So, Luke, welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you for the warm welcome. I am very glad to be on here.
For sure, man. Glad to have you on. All right, so we're going to start off with, how did you get into collecting, man?
So, first time I, really witnessed cards was a couple of years ago, last summer. And my friends got me into it. They showed me it. And, I mean, they had some duplicates of cards. And I was like, you know, can I have this one? Can I have that one? And then as time passes, I start collecting more and more. And I went to my first card shop up at Jimmy's. I know Jacob's probably talked to you guys about that.
A lot.
Yeah, and then I was kind of just, like, really big into collecting for a solid year or so. But then about whenever Super Bowl ended and stuff and football season was kind of at its worst, that's whenever I kind of stopped for a little bit. And then, you know, we went to camp, and that's whenever I first met Jacob.
Yep.
At least talked to him.
Yeah.
And and then a few weeks later, I go to his house, and he's trying to show me some speakers. I see a Ken Griffey PSA card, and I'm like, dude, do you collect cards? And he's like, I remember looking at him, and he's looking at me with his eyes wide open.
That's exactly what happened. It's just like, dude, another nerd that collects cards. And we're being like best friends after that, which is kind of funny. But it's just like, you know, you connect, like, you know, John Newman always says, one of my favorite guests I've had on, the hobby is the people. And like, if you connect, you can literally connect with a person just off a couple words. Do you collect cards? And like, it's like, you know, really cool to, you know, connect with somebody off that, you know, right off the bat. So, like I said, today we are not going to be talking about cards, though. We might mention a couple things, you know, if we are talking, any, you know, if I talk about my favorite player in history of the NFL, Justin Fields. But, you know, we might talk a little bit about cards, but probably not too much today. We're going to be focusing on fantasy football. It is fantasy football season. We've got a big old draft party coming up tonight. And I'll definitely be recapping that next week. And also probably all of my other 100 teams. but we're going to get started with some rankings. And we're doing our what we call the big three positions, QB, RB, and wide receiver. We both agreed that the other positions, tight end is pretty obvious, and then kicker and defense really don't matter. You just pick one and take the best one off waivers every week. So we're going to start off with some QB. So the way we're doing it is top five, and then we're also going to do our honorable mention, which will be our – steal. So the format we're going to do it in is he's going to say his five, I'm going to say my five, and then we'll do agreements, disagreements, you know, stuff like that. So let's start off with your top five QBs.
All right.
You know, give me a little bit of insight into your list.
So one of my guys, my number one, Patrick Mahomes, pretty obvious.
Yeah, pretty obvious. Consensus number one. I mean, nobody's better.
For sure. I mean, he has the same offense, everything. Yep. And, like, he still has Travis Kelce. Exactly. Just no Juju, but I don't think that's going to affect him this year.
Nope.
One MVP last year, I don't think he's going to take much of a much of a decrease.
Yeah, especially in fantasy. I mean, he's just so good. I mean, nobody in the league is better than him. And I would even take him over probably any two of the next four guys on my list. I mean, really, he's just that good. So, all right, what you got? What you got number two?
Number two, I have Jalen Hurts, actually.
Okay.
He has really good rushing upside, which is obviously really important for, you know, quarterbacks nowadays for fantasy.
Yep.
And also a word on the street is that him, A.J. Brown, and also Devontae Smith are really connecting well in training camp this year.
Okay, that's good.
So I see a big year out of him.
Okay, yeah, I really like Jalen Hurts' upside. He is still young, obviously, but his offense is almost entirely the same. You know, he did lose Miles Sanders to Carolina, but he did bring in DeAndre Swift, who is basically the exact same player with slightly better receiving upside, in my opinion. So I think they're poised to have another big year as long as the defense can, you know, hold some points for him. But yeah, I think he really does have the biggest upside in this entire draft. Yep. Obviously, Patty is, you know, the most consistent, but if you're looking at upside, Jalen Hurts is definitely bringing it. All right, what you got, number three?
My number three, not going to be quite a surprise. I have Josh Allen.
Yep.
Once again, he has pretty good rushing upside, but I feel like the reason he's not above Jalen Hurts on this list is his turnover problems. Yep. Recently, last season, 14 interceptions. Yep. You can't really have that every week. Yep. To have a be an elite.
Especially in fantasy, if you're losing 2 points every week, not really that, you know, helpful. If you're losing 2 points every single week from a QB. And, you know, there's going to be games like that for everybody, but 14 for a top three QB is possibly too much. So hopefully he'll, you know, work on that this year for sure. All right, what you got, number four?
Number four, I have Justin Fields.
Okay.
Jacob.
Yes, favorite player. Love him.
Yep.
Literally love him. I mean, the rushing yards is just crazy. Like,
yeah, once again, of course, you guys have heard this twice already, but rushing upside, yep. Once again, one of the best rushers last year as a quarterback, and also bringing in DJ Moore is really useful for him, as he had not very many weapons last season, or, yeah.
Zero weapons.
Yeah.
Mooney.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney is not going to
help you. Yeah, he can't carry an offense. I mean, DJ Moore can't either, but Justin Fields can carry an offense.
Yeah, and then one last thing, a cool stat I found out.
Okay.
From weeks 9 to 17, he was actually the QB4, which is whenever he really broke out last year. So.
Yeah, his second half was insane. I picked him up off waivers last year, and my QB was down for a couple weeks, and I grabbed him, and he just immediately went off. So he immediately gained the starting spot and carried me into the playoffs. So, yeah, he's really good. If you know, watch where he's going in average draft position, because I feel like I've never seen him go where his average draft position is. I've seen him go really high, or I've seen him go really low. So, you know, I would possibly wait just to see where these other guys are going. You know, Patty, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Burrow. But don't waste a pick too early on a QB, in my opinion, especially when our running back class is really thin this year. So, you know, wait as long as you can. But the problem is QBs drop off after about the top eight. Mm-hmm. So if you can't, you know, get a solid starter, then you might not be in shape. But don't waste the pick too early is what I would say.
Yeah. So, yeah, my number five now, Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm a Bengals fan, but I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible.
Yeah.
But I see him as the most accurate passer in the league right now. He has a top three wide receiving core, too, and everything like that. Jamar, T.
Yep.
And Tyler Boyd are really going to help him out.
Yep.
And also, I see him finishing top three in passing yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
This season.
I definitely see that, especially when you have a receiving core with three stars. Any of those guys can go off any given week. And if Jamar's having a down week, then T. Higgins is there. And if somehow Jamar and T. Higgins are having a down week, there's still Tyler Boyd. And the defense has to think about that. So when you got three star receivers at, you know, your wide receiver three used to be your wide receiver one just two seasons ago. And he was not a Darnell Mooney type of wide receiver one. He was a very good wide receiver one. So I would definitely watch out for the Bengals receiving core. And they're definitely going to be on my list when we get down to wide receiver. But now I'm going to go quickly through my QB list. I actually had the exact same five QBs in mind, but they're in slightly different order. So, obviously, Patty, best. He is possibly the best athlete that quarterback position has ever seen, in my opinion. You know, I'm not going to say he's the GOAT yet. He hasn't won enough. Obviously, Tom Brady is the GOAT. But if you put Patrick Mahomes next to Tom Brady and you don't think about championships and you're looking at stat outlook for Patty, if he can keep doing it for another 10 years, then this guy is by far the greatest. I mean, he is just such an athlete. He can run. his arm is just like he's a magician with the football. I've never seen anybody play like him. Yeah, so I mean, Patty.
Patrick Mahomes.
Consensus, I mean, number one.
Yeah, he's even like top 15 all time already. He is not even in his 30s. Yeah, he's already won two championships, two MVPs. I mean, one of the greatest already. Yeah,
already, yep. So my second place, I actually had Josh Allen, and really the only reason I put him ahead of Jalen Hurts, he is more established, and I mean, I hate the turnovers and very injury prone the way he plays. You know, he plays with a, you know, bull mentality, in my opinion. Just he tries to, you know, fights for the extra yard for his team. But so that makes him injury prone. But I just think he's more established than Jalen Hurts. He's been more consistent in fantasy in the last couple of years. So that's why I have him at number two. Then number three, I've got Jalen Hurts. Biggest upside in the entire draft for sure. Mm-hmm. And like I said, only reason I've got him at number three is because he's not established completely yet. Last year was his first, really. Like, you know, I don't even count the rookie season every time just because it's so hard for rookie quarterbacks because they're on a bad team usually. So that's why I've got him at number three. Number four is my boy, Joe Burrow, number four, you know. The one thing is, he's another injury-prone guy. I mean, he literally got injured in camps in the first day of camp. So, you know, he'll be ready for week one, so you don't have to worry about him when you're drafting. But he is going to be a guy I would watch, you know, be careful with. And if someone is buying him high, I might let him go if you have QB depth, for sure. And then my number five, Justin Fields. Biggest rushing upside in the draft. And just rushing yards make him a huge boom player. If he rushes even for 800 yards this year, but passes for a little bit more, same value to me as last year. So I've got Fields at my number five spot. And then I'm going to do an honorable mention for my, like, sort of steel quarterback or a guy to watch. I really like Trevor Lawrence this year. I feel like he's been getting crapped on a lot, which I don't understand because he's literally got another receiver. He had Christian Kirk last year who went nuts. And now he's got Ridley, which, I mean, we've seen what he's done with a full season, which, you know, he did have Matt Ryan who literally only passed the ball. But I really like their offense this year, and I would not be surprised if he goes crazy this year. So he's definitely a guy I would watch. You know, if you miss out on these top five guys, then I would look for T-Law in your 7th, 8th, 9th round QBs.
Also, just to add on, one of my sleepers is definitely Geno Smith.
Okay.
He finished as the QB5 last year, but he's going off the board as, like, the QB12.
Yeah.
And, like, if you really don't feel like drafting a quarterback, if there's none left whenever you want to take him, just wait till the end, grab Geno Smith, and you have a pretty good quarterback that'll do you good every week.
Yeah, I agree. He's very consistent, and here's his receiving core, like we've been talking about. If your receiving core is loaded, then you're probably going to be good. I mean, Patty doesn't even have really a receiving core, but if your receiving core is loaded, you got Lockett and Metcalf, you know, you got your short and deep ball guys. So I really like Geno. He actually really debated putting him or T-Law in my honorable mention, but I ended up going with T-Law just because he is younger. So I went with T-Law. All right, so we'll move on to our running backs, and we'll be back right after this quick break. If y'all want to support this show, you can find my cards on ComC at the username RedsFan324. I have some pretty cool stuff on there, and my inventory is always changing, so make sure y'all go check out my ComC, RedsFan324. All right, now we're going to get into running backs, and Luke is going to start off with his top five and his sleeper, so let's get into it.
All right, so my number one, very much a surprise, I would say here, kind of. But I have Bijan Robinson.
Okay. I like your pick. I like your pick. You do. Explain why.
Yeah. So there's a weird stat that, I haven't known since maybe a few weeks ago. But the past top 10 draft pick running backs, they have just been elite in fantasy.
Yeah.
Really. So, like, I mean, some of the guys you think of for sure, Saquon, Zeke Elliott for sure. They finished as the RB 1 and 2 in their rookie seasons.
Yeah.
And even this might come as a surprise too, but he has a really low floor as well, really.
Yeah.
The lowest a top 10 draft pick rookie running back has finished is RB at 11.
So wow. Wow.
I see him as a really safe pick, which I think he's going to finish as the RB1 this year with the situation he's in and everything.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing about this, I didn't think he would put him number one, but I definitely thought he would have him in his top five. But if you look last year, the Falcons ran by far more than any other team. So if their offense stays the same, they've got a Desmond Ridder, which he is not going to be throwing the ball in the early weeks. So I really like his pick. You know, he is a rookie, so obviously I haven't seen it. But the past rookies have been, like, really, really good. I mean, you saw what Zeke did in his rookie year. You saw what Saquon did in his rookie year. Yeah. So, yeah, I really like the Bijan pick. I mean, I didn't have him that high, but I think he could be RB1. I think he has, you know, out of the guys, the consensus guys, they're always up there every year. I like his chances this year, especially in the Falcons' offense.
Yeah. So my number two here, it's pretty safe. Nick Chubb, okay. I think. I mean, he's probably one of, if not the safest picks this draft in this year. And also, like, ever since Kareem Hunt's been gone, he's been catching a lot more passes in the backfield as well. So just to add on to, like, how well he did last year with just his rushing, he's going to be receiving a lot this season, I would think.
I mean, I don't know. I like Chubb as the best pure rusher in the draft. Agreed. But I don't know if the catching upside is there just because they brought in Deshaun. I think he's got more of a presence on the field. I think he can actually get the ball down the field to receivers. I don't even care who they are. I think he can get it down the – I think he can get it to receivers. But I don't know if the catching upside is there for me, really, just because we haven't seen it yet. But if – I mean, obviously Kareem is gone, but I just don't know if it's there. I think he's more of a Derrick Henry type of player, and even if the third down back's gone, it's just not – I don't know. I don't think it changes his, you know, usage, his workload that much. But, I mean, I like him as the best pure rusher in the draft, but I don't know if his workload changes too much in receiving aspect.
All right. So my number three now, it's quite the sleeper, I will say.
Okay.
But a lot of people are really high on him. I have Tony Pollard.
Okay.
He's going in like the third round, early third, late second. And I see him finishing as high as maybe even the RB1.
Yeah.
With Zeke gone, of course, he tore up every team he went against whenever Zeke was injured last year.
Yeah.
And he actually was the RB6 in the 3 weeks he was the starter.
Okay.
And that is even including a bye week.
And he's going third. He's going third round. So he's definitely a sleeper. I love Tony Pollard. I put on my notes right here in capital letters, huge upside. Love this guy. Yes. I mean, we saw what he did last year. Even when Zeke was playing, he was still going nuts in fantasy. So I just think he's a really, really good pick. I have him in my top five, and he's going in the third round. Like, that's probably one of the biggest sleepers in the draft. So I definitely look for Tony Pollard for sure.
Yep. And then one more stat with Tony Pollard. If he had 15 points in that week he missed for the bye week, he would have been the RB1 in those weeks as well.
Wow.
So even a okay game.
Yeah.
Would have been great.
Just average for what he did in those weeks when he started, he would have been RB1 in those weeks.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, yeah, when you consider the bye week, that's just insane. He's still six.
Yep.
All right, so you got number four.
My number four, Austin Eckler.
Yep.
He was the RB1 last year, of course. And I had him last year as well, so yeah. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah.
But, of course, as some of you know, he didn't finish great last year. He had a stretch of, like, 3 weeks where he was in the 30s.
Yep.
And then he had a few weeks towards the end where he was in the low 10s.
Yep.
I see him having a similar year to last year. But one of the big things is just his receiving upside, for sure.
I mean, he's going to catch the most passes in the entire league for a running back.
Yeah, and last year he had 20 more targets than the second place in running backs.
Yep.
So, like, that is
it's really insane. Yeah. I mean, if you can – I just really think of Austin Ekeler, like, he's going to get you 15 points in fantasy. And if he doesn't get 15 points, he's going to get you 25 points in fantasy. Yeah. Like, he's really good. So, I mean, obviously he's going to be a, you know, top five pick, obviously. If you can get him in the late first round and, you know, maybe a deeper league, a 12-team league, I'd definitely take him because he's really a big weapon in fantasy, especially PPR. I mean, half PPR, I mean, he could slide a little bit, but full PPR, he is the probably, in my opinion, the best full PPR player out there. So I definitely look for Ekeler if you can get him, especially if you can get him mid to late first round.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. My number five is Derrick Henry.
Okay.
He is just, like, really consistent out there. He's the best. Him and Nick Chubb are by far the two best rushers of the ball in the league. And one big thing, if you make the fantasy playoffs, he goes against the Texans in week 17. And we know how he performs against the Texans.
He's going to get a lot of rushing yards.
Yeah, he'll probably get no lower than 20 points a week.
I mean, honestly, like we've seen, he's gotten the 200-yard, two touchdown games against them like every time. So I definitely look for him to go big in your championship game. For sure. All right, so I'm going to go ahead in my top five, and it's a lot different than yours. I have a couple of your guys in here, but I have a couple guys that are not. So I'm going to start off. My number one running back is the fantasy football GOAT, Austin Ekeler, greatest fantasy player in history. But since Randy Moss, he is literally so good. I mean, when you're getting that many targets as a running back and still rushing for that many yards, he's gotten so many touchdowns in the last few years. He's going to carry again for fantasy managers. I look to pick him. If I can get him in my pick, I will definitely take him because he is a very, very, very good player.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, obviously, I have him in my top five. I just don't really see him finishing as the RB1 personally. Yeah. Just because
He is aging.
Yeah, and also his rushing is just not
it's
as
mediocre.
Good.
It's mediocre. Yeah.
It's not as good as the people I have ahead of him, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It is more mediocre, but it's the receiving upside in PPR leagues that just carries into my number one spot.
Yeah, no doubt.
So my number two, he's not in your top five.
Oh, man.
And he's my number two. I've got Christian McCaffrey in my number two spot. And here's why. The 49ers are going to rejuvenate his career because he was on the Panthers. There's no other weapons on the Panthers with him. Defenses are keying on him. But now with the 49ers, they have to worry about Ayuk, Debo, who is like literally the biggest unicorn in history, literally can do anything. So I've got C-Mac as my number two running back. And once again, the receiving upside in PPR leagues just, you know, puts in there for me. I mean,
For sure.
Especially, and it's just because he's with that offense now. You know, that offensive style, I love it. It's geared toward running backs that can catch and more passing. So I just really like that offense that he's with.
Yeah.
So I will put him as the number two running back.
Yeah. I will definitely talk about him later, though.
Okay. All right. So my number three guy is Bijan Robinson. I've just got him number three just because he's a rookie. You know, once again, Falcons, most rushing offense last year. They're going to do it again because they got a rookie QB. And I love Bijan. And like I said, I was about to mention, he pulled up the stats that I wanted to mention. I was like, oh, this is such a good stat. But, you know, the rookie running backs, that the lowest they finish is RB11, which means you're still getting pretty much a flexed RB with a rookie, which even in a keeper league, you know, a dynasty league, you might want to think about that. The league that we're doing tonight is actually a keeper league. So, you know, something that people might need to think about is keeping Bijan because he is so young. You know, you really only get to 6 years with a running back, 6 or 7 years. So I like Bijan you know, especially for a dynasty league, but his upside, you know, biggest upside.
Yeah.
All right. So my number three, or number four. Wait, this is number four. One, two, three. Okay, this is my number four. Number four, best pure rusher in the draft, like I mentioned, Nick Chubb.
Yep.
I mean, he's so consistent. He's going to get you the 100 rushing yards and a touchdown. So I've got Nick Chubb number four. I think enough said about Nick Chubb. Like, he's 100 yards and a touchdown. Guaranteed. He's going to get you 15 points in fantasy. So I really like him. Number five, biggest upside in the entire draft, Tony Pollard. I mean, he just tore up once again. Like Luke said, all of the stats he said, he was number six with a bye week. It's just like, dude, what? Like, it's just insane. So I've got Tony Pollard. And then for my honorable mention, my sleeper pick for running back, this is a guy that nobody's thinking about. I think you guys should be thinking about him. Alexander Mattison.
Oh, man.
And every year, he has carried for the Vikings when Dalvin Cook's been injured. I mean, he's averaging 15 points as a starter in fantasy right now. So, you know, as a waiver wire pickup in the last few years, I've loved him because he's an automatic starter for me. But this year, he's falling to like fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Yeah.
Really like him there because we saw how the Vikings used Dalvin Cook, and I think Mattison is basically the identical player. I mean, he's obviously a little bit worse than Cook, but I really like him falling to the, you know, in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, especially with how thin this running back class is. I'm definitely looking to take Mattison tonight for sure, but that's my sleeper pick. What do you, what do you think?
I actually have a couple of sleeper picks that I really wanted to share. One of them is James Conner. We've seen how much of a touchdown machine he is. A couple of years ago when he was a starter, whenever he was healthy, he was one of the top running backs that you really wanted a couple of years ago. And he is, right now, he's the 23rd running back taken in PPR leagues.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely pick him up.
I like him because, you know, he's always been sort of like RB 1.5. In like on all of his teams, and this year he's going to be the RB one, so I like him.
Yeah, and then my other one, I'm really drafting this guy in a lot of leagues. I have Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, I like
him. He finished as the RB 9 last year, and he's going as the RB 16 in these drafts.
Wow.
And in my opinion, I see him in a better situation this year with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
A younger quarterback who is, I would say, pretty disciplined after being behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best mentor you could have besides like Tom Brady. Like, But, yeah, I really like Aaron Jones for sure. He is – yeah, him falling to the second round is a sleeper. Like, really. Yes. Like, he should be going first round. So, I like him. All right, we'll get into receivers right after this. All right, guys, next is receivers, and I'm going to go first to this one. So this is not the consensus pick, and this is not even the second pick. This might not even be the third pick in ADP. But my number one receiver in fantasy football this year is Tyreek Hill. He is by far, in my opinion, the best receiver. He's going to have the most targets. He's the best short receiver. He's the best long receiver. He's the best touchdown receiver. So I just don't think anybody is going to beat him. I mean, as long as Tua stays healthy this year. I mean, he was even decent with the other guys, but as long as Tua stays healthy, then I see him being wide receiver one for sure.
Yeah, I like that pick for sure.
I really like Tyreek Hill this season. I mean, he was good last year. He's going to be good again. He's been the best receiver in the league for about three straight years, in my opinion. So, really like him. Next up, we've got Justin Jefferson. And honestly, I don't even know if I like this pick anymore. I think he's a little bit overrated. But, I mean, he's good, but I feel like he's just more of a popular player than he is even, like, good at football. I don't know. But, like, I just don't – like, now that I'm looking at my ranks, I don't even know if I like Justin Jefferson that much there. But, yeah, I'll still leave him at two. But Justin Jefferson is my number two. I mean, he's going to get a ton of targets. And the Vikings offense, you know, is more pass-oriented, like I talked about with Alexander Mattison. So, I mean, he's going to be good. And he is the number one ranked overall fantasy player this year, which overrated all day. But, I mean, he's going to be good, but not number one good, in my opinion. Number three, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, I'm probably a little bit biased on this pick, and he does have T. Higgins and Boyd behind him, but I do like Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he's such a good touchdown threat for the Bengals, and he's going to get a lot of targets. So I like Chase in PPR, but I really like his touchdown threat for the Bengals. And then I've got number four, Cooper Kupp, and he is the PPR GOAT. He's going to get, like, literally 160 stinking targets. Like, it's going to be stupid. I mean, if you're not doing PPR, I would let him drop because it's not worth as much because he doesn't get yards. I think last year he averaged 9.5 yards per carry, and this year he's going to average about this carry, reception.
Yeah.
But I think he's averaged about the same this year, and I do like him, but not much in non-PPR leagues. But in PPR, I'm taking him early as I can.
Yeah, I mean, last year, if he played a full year last year and not get injured, I would probably say he'd be the 101 this year.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. Yeah, I mean, he was like, what receiver is he this year and consensus? Is he three?
I think he's three.
Three, yeah. I think he was going to take
three or four.
Three or four, yeah. Okay, I mean, yeah, if he hadn't gotten injured, yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, so my number five. This guy has the best wide receiver one potential just because of the amount of targets. He's going to be consistent, probably the second most consistent besides Tyreek Hill, and that would be Davante Adams. And he's the second best touchdown, second best reception, second best everything in the draft behind Tyreek Hill. But I just like the upside of these other three guys. But in consistency speaking, he is the second most consistent receiver in all of the draft. So, if he falls into your lap, definitely take him. Really like him this year.
Yeah, I see him. I see him as a little bit of a gamble, in my opinion.
Oh,
I don't
really
see him as quite the most safe pick, in my opinion. I mean, they brought in a new target, and also Hunter Renfro is back.
Yeah.
And
we remember how many targets Hunter Renfro would get in PPR. He was Cooper Kupp Jr. back in the day.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then they also have Jimmy G. So, I don't really know how that offense is going to work out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really avoid Raiders players at the moment.
Yeah.
Just because of how much of a new offense they've got.
That's true.
A newer coach.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
I see where you're coming from, but I almost see Jimmy G, like, ending up force-feeding Devontae the ball at some point just because he's such a star. I mean, he can get open. So, I feel like there's going to be some games where it's just Jimmy G and Devontae on the field and about nobody else. So I like Davante this year, but I do agree with you on the new offense. That is one thing that's a little bit of a gamble. And then I'm going to talk about my honorable mention real quick. This guy is my favorite player in all of the draft. If he falls to you, you got to take him. He is now the wide receiver one, and that would be Hollywood Brown. D-Hop going to the Titans, and we saw what Hollywood could do with the Cardinals when D-Hop was the star. And I really like Hollywood this year. Really, really, really like Hollywood. I've drafted him in, like, all my leagues, and I'm planning on doing it again because I love Hollywood Brown. And he's just, he's literally my favorite sleeper by far in all of the drafts. I think he's got one of the biggest upsides in all of the draft. I just don't know why he's getting slept on. It's just like Aaron Jones. It's like, really consistent player. Just don't know why he's getting slept on. So,
yeah. I've heard that pick a lot, so I kind of knew it going into this,
okay.
But you know.
Yeah.
He's been liking to tell me that Hollywood Brown is the best pick in the draft right now, and I honestly kind of agree. I've been picking him up in a lot of leagues too, so
yeah.
I honestly kind of agree.
Yeah, I really like him as a sleeper. I mean, where he's going, his value is so high for me. All right, let me hear your top five receivers.
All right. My number one. What are the odds? But I also have Tyreek Hill,
dude. I love that pick, man. Like, I just love that pick.
Yeah. He was the wide receiver one while Tua was healthy, I think. And the Dolphins also passed the ball a lot. And, and like one of the concerns, I mean, it could be how many targets is Jalen Waddle going to take away from him? But I don't see that really being an issue after seeing how it went last year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I see the Dolphins passing a lot this year. and all that. Yeah, so I see him as a safe pick as well. So.
I did too. Very consistent, like I said. Yes. Just so consistent.
Yeah, I remember last year I was bugging the person who had Tyreek Hill last year. I may have made about 20 trade offers last year to try and get him.
So. I had him in a couple of leagues, and I was very happy about it because he went off for me.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my most legendary weeks in history, I was playing against my brother Josh, which y'all have met before, and he had Jalen Waddle, and I had Tyreek Hill on that week when they went to OT against the Ravens, and they both just trading touchdowns. Dude. And I was watching the game, and we're just both going nuts, talking trash. I was like, bro, Tyreek's gonna have more touchdowns than, you know, we're just talking trash the entire time. But it's just one of the most fun games I've ever watched.
Yeah, crazy comeback by the Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. What a game.
My number three, I have Cooper Kupp here.
Okay.
He should be back for week one. He doesn't look like he's gonna be missing any weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, I skipped one. Oh, my goodness. One. I accidentally skipped one.
All right, what's your number two?
Number two, not number three, I have Ja'Marr Chase. I see him as a safer pick with a good amount of upside, too. He's Joe Burrow's favorite target, 100%, as we've seen all the way back from LSU years.
Yeah. The chemistry is there, man. It's really.
And I think Joe Burrow takes a small leap as well. So, yeah. I mean, that honestly really helps Ja'Marr Chase, too, with him getting more receiving yards and stuff.
I mean, yeah, one of my favorite quotes in history is Burrow saying, flip it with a different word. He's up there somewhere, so I'm just going to throw it up or, what, you know, something in that sense. But I just love that, you know, that they already have that chemistry from college and that he's – you know, he is really going to be there somewhere. So I really just love that chemistry. And, you know, when you got a QB receiver relationship like that, you know, you love to see it. So I really like that pick for sure. So what's your number three? Well, we already kind of said it, but
now at my number three, I have Cooper Kupp, obviously. He's going to be back for week one, 100%, like I said. And he averaged over 20 points in PPR in the past 2 years.
Yep.
So,
like I said, PPR goat.
Yeah, I don't see him taking much of a step down. Obviously, Matt Stafford's favorite target by a mile.
Yep.
It's
not even close.
Yeah, I don't really see them see Van Jefferson or Tyler Higbee taking a lot of targets. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, Matt Stafford is too old to throw down the field, so that's why I love Cooper Kupp. As you can tell, I'm not exactly the Matt Stafford fan as a Bengals fan. But, you know, really, Kupp is the PPR goat, and he's not going to have any target competition at all. So I love him in PPR.
And quick throwback. I just thought of this whenever you said Matt Stafford can't throw the ball downfield. End of the first half, Super Bowl, what was it, 56?
Yeah.
Yeah, against the Bengals. Throws it downfield. Favorite player, Jesse Bates, intercepts it.
Picks it
off. One of my favorite memories. I was jumping up and down.
Yeah, we were going nuts that game for sure until the fourth. But anyways, we don't need to get on bad memories. What's your number four?
My number four is Garrett Wilson, actually.
Okay.
I'd say a lot of running backs, wide receivers are known for taking year two leaps, like Justin Jefferson, for sure. And Ja'Marr Chase took a pretty big leap. And also, he has Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Zach Wilson, at least trying to throw him the ball, of course. So, I see that helping him a lot. He seems to be Aaron Rodgers' favorite target in training camp. And I really don't see him getting any less than 8 targets a game this year.
I like your pick here, but, I mean, okay, so I'm going to go over a couple of things first. So, Aaron Rodgers obviously helps him because he has a quarterback that's not trying. He's actually getting in the ball. But I don't know if I see him taking that much of a leap. I liked him last year, but I don't know. I feel like he's getting over-projected a little bit. I mean, if he's there in the third round, I like him. But second round pick where he's going, I don't like him that much. So I'm taking him around, you know, middle round three if I can. But I feel like he's getting over-projected a lot in round two. So I don't know about Garrett Wilson too much, and especially my top five. I don't like that pick that much, I'm gonna be honest.
Oh, man. Come on now. Hating on Garrett?
Yeah, I'm hating on Garrett.
As I like to call him the rat.
Okay.
G-Rat, you know. But, yeah, that's kind of cringe.
That's so cringy.
Weird name, but...
okay, yeah. What's your number five?
My number five, Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
I think he takes just a slight step down.
Yeah.
I see him not getting as many targets because of Jordan Addison coming into town, TJ Hawkinson playing a full season with them, and all that. I still see him being an elite receiver and 100% love him early first round.
Yep.
But I don't see him finishing quite as high as before.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, don't see him finishing as high as projection. He's overrated. But, you know, the one thing about him is he's got that target competition now. And, you know, last year he really didn't until, you know, midway when they got Hawkinson. But he didn't really take too many targets away, I didn't feel like, because he wasn't initiating the offense too much. So, I mean, I like him, you know, if you can get him first round. But I don't like him, you know, first overall where he's been going. So, I mean, he's an elite receiver, like you said, but just not as good as last year, I don't think. And I don't think he has as much upside as last year either. I don't think he can do much. I don't think Justin Jefferson could ever do better than he did last year, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah, really.
I just think he's just going to stay at this. I mean, I don't think he can even stay at this level. I think he'll be – I mean, he'll be definitely a wide receiver one for years to come, but just not the one we saw last year.
You're right.
All right, so now I'm going to do a couple things quickly to wrap up the show. So I'm going to go over my sleepers and, you know, talk just a little bit about that. A lot of the guys I already mentioned were in my sleepers, but I had to just mention them again. Number one sleeper, Hollywood Brown. Once again, love him in these drafts, and already, you know, harped on him for quite a while. My number two sleeper is Derrick Henry. And, you know, you guys are like, Derrick Henry, he's still going the top two rounds. I think Derrick Henry falling to the second round is him being slept on. I think he's one of the most consistent RBs that the league has ever seen. You know, he broke their single season rushing record. Like, he's literally so good. Or he almost broke it, I guess. But he is getting slept on for falling to the second round, in my opinion. So that's one of my big sleepers. Another guy, Trevor Lawrence, like I mentioned earlier, he literally carried the Jaguars with only Christian Kirk. Like, that's just a really big accomplishment. And they did not have offensive line. I guess they had Etienne, but nothing too crazy on that team besides Etienne, Kirk, and Trevor. My next sleeper, Isaiah Pacheco. I have not talked about him yet.
Oh, man.
But I like his workload with the Chiefs this year. I think they're going to run the ball more. I think he's going to get more targets out of the backfield. And he's going eighth and ninth round right now. He's going super late. So if I can get Pacheco, I really like him. I just think his workload is going to be a lot different this year for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
And then my last sleeper is a guy who has carried me before, and he's carried me. He's carried his own team. He's carried himself. He's carried me. This guy, biggest unicorn in all of fantasy football, Deebo Samuel. And, yes, he was hurt last year, but I just think – when you can run that much and receive that much, literally do everything for your team. If he falls to you, I like Deebo a lot. And you're thumbs down at me. Why do you not like Deebo?
I'm not a huge fan of Deebo, man. I feel like his rushing really can't save him. He's not going to get more than 10 receptions in any game this season, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't really see his rushing really saving him. Only getting maybe like 5-10 carries a game.
Yeah.
That's really not going to save him. That's not going to get him to top 20 wide receiver, in my opinion.
Okay. See, I've got him, you know, I do have him more of a wide receiver 2 flex option, but I still just really like him with the upside. I don't know. I just, something about him, just him being able to be a 2-way player, I just really like him. So let's go over your sleepers real quick, and then I'll mention a couple more things, and we'll wrap up the show.
Actually, I already said a bunch of my sleepers. Do you want me to do my top 10 reaches? Sleepers.
Give me three reaches. Yeah.
I'll give you three of my favorite reaches here. Okay.
Favorite reaches.
One of my reaches, Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
This season.
Okay. I want to hear why.
Quite a surprise. But I mean, a lot less opportunities with Elijah Mitchell being healthy. Receiving really has to save him this season, which I don't see it saving him really at all. He had a lot less fantasy points per game last season with Elijah Moore being healthy last season. So I will say I do still like him in late first, early second range, but I really don't see him finishing ahead of any of the guys I got him top five.
Okay. See, I don't even think Mitchell has that much of a part in this offense this year. I just don't
really.
I just don't think he does, especially with the other weapons. Like I mentioned, Ayuk and Debo. I just don't think Mitchell really has a big part in this offense. So I like C-Max still. But, I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I don't know if Mitchell really does much of this offense.
Yeah. Another reach I have is Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, like that reach. He's definitely a reach.
He is not going to be doing much better this year. He's going before Breece Hall and Travis Etienne, which I think is just absolutely
Etienne
insane.
Is possibly the most explosive player in the draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, and on top of that, the Patriots seem to be looking for a running back.
Yep.
They've visited with, I think, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep. Leonard Fournette,
yep. I think even Dalvin Cook. I'm not sure.
I think they did visit with him, yeah. But I just think, the way the Patriots have played – they're never going to have a true RB1. They're going to run three RBs out there every season. You're just going to be, sitting in the backseat with your, fourth round pick, Ramondre. It's just like not worth it to me to take him. It's such a risk because, I mean, he could produce about the same if they don't get any of these guys, but if they do, he's taking a backseat. I mean, he's just not worth the risk, in my opinion. So who's your third reach?
My third and final reach, in my opinion, DK Metcalf is quite a reach. This is kind of insane. Tyler Lockett and Brandon Ayuk, and also, on top of that, Tyler Lockett missed a week. They both finished above him last year in PPR leagues, and he's going at least three rounds ahead of him now, which I see is kind of crazy. And also, on top of that, with them drafting Jaxon Smith-Njigba this year, that's going to be even more targets taken away from
exactly.
him, for sure. So I don't really see him being a fourth round pick.
He's not worth it, especially when another thing I think I don't know if I talked about this yet, but got teams with a really good wide receiver too. You know, their receiver one is a lot of times touchdown or bust. You know, Mike Williams is another guy I do not like. I think he's a big reach because he's touchdown or bust. He's not getting the targets that the wide receiver two that's, the short guy's getting. So I just think he's just a reach, Both of those guys, Mike Williams and Metcalf, are reaches to me this year.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, so now let me do my do's and don'ts, which I'm going to start with my avoids. So, like I said, early wide receiver twos, Higgins, I don't like him. Mike Williams, don't like him. Well, I guess Williams would be a one, but I think Allen's superior, in my opinion. And Waddle, I mean, Waddle is the best receiver two in the draft, in my opinion. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill is just, he's going to have games where they're force-feeding him the ball for sure. So, I don't like early wide receiver twos at all.
Yeah, I fully agree with all three of those guys.
Yeah. And then, so that was my main avoid. Another avoid is waiting too long to take a QB. I mean, Geno is a fine late round guy, but if you can get any of the top eight QBs, I would take one because it really drops off after that. You've got literally rookie QBs and like – guys that were third strings, they're getting forced in, like Sam Howell.
Yeah.
So, like, I just don't – I think it's really worth it to use your pick on a QB if you can get any of the top eight. And then for my dues, I've got take a wide receiver one as late as possible, and here's why. Because this draft is loaded with receivers, every receiver this year seems to be good. So if you can wait to take a wide receiver one as long as you can while still getting a star caliber receiver, like, you know, on a Justin Jefferson level. You know, not necessarily Justin Jefferson rank, but on his level. So if you can get a guy, you know, late first round wide receiver one, in my opinion, is fine. If you're gonna come back and flip, you know, when on the 1-2 flip, grab RB. You're gonna have to get an RB early. And then one other thing, right after the wide receiver one, take an RB one of your first two picks. You need a star RB, especially this season. The wide receiver or the RB class is thin. You gotta take an RB in your first or second round. And yeah, like I said, RB class is just not deep compared to this massive wide receiver class.
Yep.
And then my one guy that I'm looking interested in mid-season waiver pickups or really late rounds, like 17th round, if you can get him last round of the draft. I like Jamal Williams, and he's just such a touchdown threat. You know, you saw what he did last year, and he's going to score every game, and he will start the first three games over Kamara because Kamara's suspended, obviously. But I just, if you can get him on the waiver wire midseason, I'd look for him just because he can score touchdowns for you off your bench. Luke, what are your final comments before you wrap up episode 89 of the Sports Card Second Podcast?
I actually, right before we end this, I have a couple of draft strategies I'm going with this year that I'd like to share with you guys. The first one is, I'm sure you guys have heard of this, it's called the Hero RB strategy.
Yep.
It's just where you take a running back in round one or two and then wait on all your other running backs that you get until about round six or seven.
Yep.
And just take quarterback, tight end, receiver. Just fill up on all those positions after taking your one elite running back.
Yeah.
And just take one of the decent ones, I guess, towards the end of the draft. And then my last strategy that I've been doing, I don't know if I've ever heard of this one, but it's kind of something I made up on the fly. I call it the skill position strategy. It's where I take three receivers and two running backs in the first five rounds.
Yep.
And then taking a quarterback and tight end.
Yeah.
Towards the end, which
I like that strategy. It definitely makes sense because, you know, after our top three QBs, you can really get any of the other eight QBs that we talked about today in the, you know, fifth or sixth round. So I really like your strategy. And then all the tight ends except Kelce and Andrews, you can definitely get in the fifth or sixth round as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I like your strategies.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, guys, that will wrap up today's episode. I'm glad you guys listened. If you made it to here, make sure you guys leave me a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts. It means a lot, and I will read out loud on the air. And also, there will be a voice message link. So if you guys want to make it to the air, send in a voice message and I will probably put on there. You can ask me anything. I'll let you answer any question about life, cards, fantasy football if you have any questions. So yeah, send in a voice message if y'all want. And yeah, that will wrap up episode 89 of the Sports Card Second Podcast. This is Jacob signing off with Luke. Keep collecting.
Peace.